You know, there are those who would wonder, why do you have special meetings like this? Why would you come and invite people to come night after night and hold a gospel campaign just like this? You know, if all was well with mankind, then to be honest, you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't hold such meetings as these. But we know that all is not well. The Lord Jesus commanded his disciples before he left them. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. The word gospel is good news. Preach the gospel to every creature. And so tonight we're fulfilling that command because we're seeking to go here, there, and yonder preaching the glorious gospel of God's redeeming grace. Now, wherein lies that good news? In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And friend, there's good news here because it says Christ Jesus came into the world to save. I remember the little chorus we used to sing in the Sunday school and the children's meetings. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek, but it was to save he came. And when we call him Savior, then we call him by his name. So the good news is this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save. But who did he come to save? The last word it says here, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And thank God that's the good news. Because Jesus came to save sinners. But then the question is asked, but who are they? Who are these people? What kind of a strange category of people that's in this camp that are sinners? Have we ever met one? Do we know anyone that would come into that category of a sinner? The Lord Jesus himself said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, and in verse 13, he says, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Do you notice there's two kinds of people there? He talks about the righteous, and he talks about the sinners. And so there are two classes of people, the righteous and the sinners. Now, of course, you'll say to me, but, well, you know, I'm in that first group. I'm the righteous, because I certainly am not a sinner. But then when we turn to God's word, my friend, we find how exactly who are these people? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Well, who are these sinners? Who are these people? Do I know one? Am I one? What does God say? Am I righteous or am I a sinner? You ask yourself a question. Which one do you think speaks about you? Turn with me, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 3. And we find Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this is what he says in Romans, chapter 3. And look at verse number 10. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. But I thought I was in that group. I thought, surely that's bound to be me. Maybe you're saying that, but listen, well, you know, I feel right. Yes, you may feel right in your own eyes. You may see no need of repentance and no need of God's salvation, no need of the Savior, because I'm all right, Jack. I am righteous. I am right. Because I'm not like others. I don't do what they do and say what they say. But the Word of God says, it's written, there is none righteous. That means there's none of themselves. of yourself. There's not a man, there's not a woman that is righteous in the sight of a holy God. Look at verse 11. There is none that understandeth. Oh, men and women, they don't understand their state before God. They don't see their situation. They don't see their lostness. They don't see their hellishness. They don't see their sinfulness. Why? Because there's none that understandeth. Because the God of the world has blinded their minds. They can't see it. And how many men and women in Coleraine tonight, listen, they think, I don't need to go into a meeting like this. I don't need to come to a mission like this because I'm not a sinner. How dare anyone stand on the pulpit and say to me, I'm a sinner. Listen, God says, there is none that understandeth. Then it says in verse 11, there is none that seeketh after God. And men and women left to themselves, friend, will not seek after God. Do you remember Adam in the garden? Whenever Adam sinned in the garden, friend, tell me this. Whenever Adam sinned, did Adam run in the garden and cry, oh God, where are you, God? I once had fellowship with you. I once loved the sweetness of your presence. Where are you, God? No, he didn't do that, friend. Because there's none that seeketh after God. In actual fact, he did the very opposite. He went to hide himself. Whenever the voice of the Lord God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day, man didn't run seeking after God. He ran away from God. He tried to hide from God. He tried to put fig leaves and sew them together and hide his nakedness and then hide himself amongst the branches of the trees because the voice of the Lord God came calling in the garden, friend. And God said, Adam, where art thou? You see, friend, it wasn't man seeking after God because the Bible says there's none left to himself that seeks after God, but God sought after him. God was seeking him, and God said, Adam, Adam, where are you? Where art thou, Adam? Now, God knew where he was. But God had to bring Adam to the place where he would acknowledge where he was. And I want to tell you, my friend, when the Spirit of God works upon a soul, then by the power of the Holy Ghost, then they see what they've never realized before. And they see what they've never seen before, that they are the sinner that Jesus came to save. It's not somebody else. It's not that other man. It's not that other woman. The Bible says there's none righteous. Ah, but God goes on further. Look at verse number 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Have you heard about, I'm a good person? Oh, God would never send me to hell. I'm a good person. Well, what does the Holy Ghost say? This is God's book, friend. Are you challenging God tonight? Are you lifting your puny fist in the face of God and say, God, I know better than you? God says there's none that doeth good. No, not one. So friend, where's your hiding place tonight? Listen, God revealed this to me. I had no hiding place. But neither have you. But you say, all right, well, if I'm not righteous, but I'm not a sinner. Then go down to verse number 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There it is, friend. There's no difference. It doesn't matter whether you're up and out. Society, listen, may look upon you as some great person. Listen, whether you're up and out or whether you're down and out. Whether you're sitting in the place of authority or whether you're the pauper in the street. God says there's no difference. In God's eyes, every man that says, all have sinned. and come short of the glory of God. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, preacher, but I can't accept that. That can't be me. You don't know the kind of life I live. I do the best I can. I pay to the church. I say my prayers. I read my Bible. I'm a decent person in society. I give to those that are in need. I do all of these things. And yet you say, there's none that doeth good. No, not one. No, I didn't say that, friend. God did. God did. But you say, but I try the best I can. But the Word of God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And no matter how much you try of yourself, friend, you will never reach the standard of God. God says in His precious Word, thou shalt not. And then God says, thou shalt. And man has decided, he makes the decision of what not to do or what not or what to do. He's the decider. He's the arbiter of right and wrong. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 36 says, for there is no man, there is no man that sinneth not. No man. And so therefore tonight, God takes the carpet from under our feet. God brings us right down to the ground. God humbles us through His precious Word. There is no man, not one, that sinneth not. And yet man says, I'm not a sinner. Well, friend, you might say it, but God says you are. God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20 says, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Not one. So every man, whether it be the king on the throne, whether my friend it be the poorest in society, God says, there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So you can ignore that. You can deny that if you will, friend. But you can't do away with it. This is God's precious and God's holy word. And this book records lives that have been wrecked and families that have been wrecked and nations that have been held captive by sin. But thank God it also tells me in this book of lives that have been changed by the power of Christ. Thank God this book tells me about families that have been gloriously changed by bowing the knee before the Lord Jesus and receiving and acknowledge Him as their Savior and as their Lord. But before God tonight, I want us to think about the problem of sin. Now the Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 9. Fools make a mock at sin. You see, as far as society is concerned, it's only a joke. It's only a laughing thing. And when you see men and women, let me tell you, sinning, people laugh at them. I think it's funny. Isn't it interesting what God said in that verse in Proverbs? Fools make a mock of sin. God says the man that does that is only a fool. That's God's estimation, not mine. God says you're a fool. And you can mock as much as you like about sin, friend. But it's not a laughing stock. Now, the Bible tells us, here's a painful warning in the Word of God, friend. Listen, sin's a deceiver. You know, in the book of Galatians, in the chapter 6, it says this, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Now, you may mock and have your laugh. And friend, you better have it now, because I'll tell you, there's coming a day, mocking's over. There's a verse tells me in the book of Proverbs, then shall I laugh, says God, at their calamity. And God says, I'll mock when their fear comes. That's when God turns the tables. And I want to tell you, my friend, you've often heard the old statement that we put, he who laughs last, laughs longest. Let me tell you, God's laughs forever. And you can laugh as much as you like at sin and make a mock at sin and think it's funny, it's only a joke. But God says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And sin's a deceiver. And sin deceives men and women. It promises satisfaction, but will leave the man and the woman and the young person in despair. There's a man in the Bible, his name's Solomon. He had everything that the world could offer a man to have, in possessions, in popularity, in everything. And you know what he said? Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. You know what that word, vanity, means? Emptiness. Emptiness of emptiness. All is emptiness. And that's not what the word, the world tells you. That's not what sin promises you. No, sin promises you pleasure. Sin promises you satisfaction. Sin promises you joy. But sin's a deceiver. Do you remember in the Garden of Eden, whenever the serpent came to Eve and she conversed with the devil in the form of the serpent? And the serpent asked her, hath God said, ye may not eat of every tree of the garden. And she entered into that conversation. And that conversation went on, friend. And then the devil said her this, thou shalt not surely die. Now God has said in the book of Genesis chapter 2, the chapter before, the day thou eatest thereof, Adam, thou shalt surely die. Man did not sin without God giving him a warning. There was a painful warning. Adam, there's a price for sin. The wages of sin is death, Adam. And the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There's not a doubt about it, friend. God was clear. Eve or Adam could not blame God for not giving the warning and telling the penalty of sin. God says, thou shalt surely die. But the serpent said to Eve, thou shalt not surely die. He just added one wee word. Not. But the devil was a deceiver, friend. Because you read on the next chapter, or go on down to chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, and you find that God fulfilled his promise. And Adam was driven out of the garden. Deceived. You see, whenever the devil told Eve to look at the fruit, look at it, Eve. Do you know that that's good for food? Do you not see that it's pleasant to the eyes? Do you not realize it's going to make you wise? Do you not realize that whenever you take this, you'll become your own God? You'll be master. Forget about God's restrictions. You're going to be the God of your own life. You don't need God to tell you anything. You'll become God. Your own God. That was the promises, friend. Those were all the promises that the devil made whenever Eve looked at that fruit. And she saw it was good. And she saw it was pleasant. And she thought it would make her wise. And she thought that she'd become as her own God. No, she did, friend. And when the devil says, you'll not surely die, Eve. Listen, there's no penalty for your sin. Eve, you'll get away with it. God will not do anything. Forget about the warning of God. This is only a false threat from God. You shall not surely die. And she put forth her hand and she took it. And then she gave it to her husband Adam. And he did eat. But friend, it was a deception. And I don't know what the devil is promising you as you hold on and embrace your sin, friend. But I promise you before God, friend, God means when he says it, sin when it is finished. And it will always finish. It bringeth forth death. No matter what the devil tells you, no matter what your friends tell you, oh, my friend, listen to what God says in his precious word. The day, Adam, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And that day, Adam died spiritually. And he was driven out of the garden. You know, there's a wee verse there over in the Proverbs, chapter 23. You know, many young people are taken, they take a look at that first glass of wine or whiskey. And when the person walks past the bar door, they hear the laughter. They hear the song. They hear the tinkle of the glass. It all sounds good. What does God say, friend? Turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Verse number 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. And then God gives a warning. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Mark verse 32. At the last it biteth like a serpent and it stingeth like an adder. Oh, friends, listen to me tonight. Sin is a deceiver, but sin's something else. It's a divider. In the book of Isaiah chapter 59, it says concerning man's sin, a very solemn statement there in the verse number 2. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Let's go back to the garden. And there in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were there, and they had fellowship with God, friend. until the day that man sinned. And then the Bible says, so God drove him, Genesis 3, verse 24, from the garden. Sin divided, separated Adam from God. And friend, that's what sin will do. Listen, look down the years of history. Think of the families that sin has wrecked in Coleraine. Think of the children that sin has divided from their fathers and their mothers. Because sin is a divider. If you don't believe that, ask Adam. Sin divided his family. God gave him two boys. One was called Cain, and the other was called Abel. And you know, they grew up together. They had a happy home, I suppose, together. But my sin took hold. And God demanded a blood sacrifice. And Abel came with the blood of the lamb, as God had demanded. But Cain came with the fruit of the ground, the works of his hands. He rebelled against a righteous and a holy God and God's demand. That family was separated, and Cain rose up and killed his brother. And he too thought, like everyone else, he got away with his sin. Until God says, Cain, where's thy brother Abel? And you know, Cain was so bold of himself, he says, am I my brother's keeper? What's Cain, what's Abel got to do with me? God says, Cain, your brother's blood is crying unto me from the ground. Sin wrecked the family. I think I can see Cain come home after he killed his brother. He makes his way into the house or the tent. And Eve is out there looking for her son. And they say, Cain, where's Abel? I don't know. Listen, friend, God saw. And sin wrecked the family. Ask David. David sinned with Bathsheba. And sin wrecked his family, friend. Think of the family of Absalom, his son. And how he rebelled against his father. And then I see them one day walk. David walked behind his son carried to the grave. And he cried, oh, Absalom, my son. My son, Absalom, my son. Would God that I had died for thee. Why did he cry, friend? Because David would gladly have died for Absalom, for he was ready to go. But Absalom died in his sin and went to hell. Sin wrecked his family. Ask Samson. Samson for 20 years judged Israel. And then his heart was won by sinful woman. He was the strongest man in all the world. And where do we see him at the last? He's there just like an ox at the threshing floor, a laughing stock, his eyes put out. Sin is a divider. But sin is a defiler. Because the book of Isaiah, again, in the chapter number 1 of Isaiah, it says this in verse number 6. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Oh, the defilement of sin. Think of it. Adam and Eve were in the garden, friend, in fellowship with the Holy God, rejoicing in God's presence. And yet, because of sin, mankind was defiled from the sole of the foot even unto the head. There's no soundness in it. Wounds, bruises, stenching sores. A mess. A mess, friend, of putrefying sores. What does Isaiah say in chapter 64? But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. All our what, friend? All our righteousnesses. That's the best that man can offer in the sight of God is filthy rags. For sin defiles. It takes a young woman and can turn her into a harlot. Take a young man and make him a murderer. Or the defilement of sin. But quickly, friend, sin's a devourer. In the 5th chapter of the book of Mark's Gospel, Jesus tells the story of the demon of Gadara. Now, that young man didn't start out amongst the tombs, lying with the dead. You say, how do I know? Because whenever the Lord Jesus saved him, Jesus told the young man, go home to your friends. That young man once wasn't home, but the devil got a grip of him. And the devil devoured him. And the devil took over his life and drove him out of his family and from his friends. And he lay there amongst the dead. And he was so taken by sin, friend. He cut himself. He tried to kill himself. And even people tried to help him. And they even put him in chains to try to stop him doing what he was doing. And he just tore them asunder. For sin devours. I remember as a young preacher, I was holding a mission in Macrofelt. It was in the big tent on what was known as Stony Park in the center of the town. I was starting this mission and I and a friend went down to speak to a young lad that we had come to know and invite him to the gospel mission. Remember waiting for him till he came home when he was staggering home. And we got him and he sat in the car and we begged him to come to the mission. We longed for him to hear the good news of the gospel of Christ, the liberating power of Christ. Reared in a good home, his mother was a Sunday school teacher, a godly woman. We knew that young lad during the mission, the second week of the mission. It was a Thursday night, I got a telephone call from the police station. He said, is that the Reverend McRae? I said, it is. Mr. McRae, could you come to the station? There's a lad wants to see you. I went to the station. I was getting ready for the mission, but I went up to the station. And I said, does someone want to see me? They said, yes. Just go in here, Mr. McRae. And they put me into the little room. And then they brought a lad out of the cell. And he walked through the door, and there was that young lad that we talked to just the Saturday night before the mission started. And as I sat and I talked to him, I could see him, and he was wringing his hands. And he said, surely not. Surely not. Surely not. Oh, there was no joy in his life now. Wringing his hand in tears. Then they held him up and he said, I'm a murderer. He got into a drunken fight. And he killed a man. As I was leaving after reading and praying with that young lad, he said to me, tell me, sir, are you going to the mission? I said, I am, son. That's where I'm going now. He says, I wish I was going with you. He wasn't going to the mission, friend. He was going to jail. What happened to him? Sin devours you. Don't you play with it. You're not playing with your friend. You're not dancing with your friend when you're dancing in sin, friend. Fools make a mock of sin, but I want to tell you, friend, sin will make a mock of you. That lad reared in a godly home. And he lay for years in a murderer's cell. I sang tonight, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. But it's one thing more. Sin's a destroyer. The wages of sin. Listen, there's a price to be paid, friend. And the wages of sin is death. What does that mean? It means sin will damn you in the lowest hell. That's where sin will take you. Be not deceived. Don't let the devil lie to you. He lied to Eve. And she took of the fruit that she gave to Adam. And he took it because she gave it to him. And he sinned with his eyes open. Clear warning from God. The day thou eatest thereof. You're dancing with death. You're dancing with hell. Thou shalt surely die. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The Lord Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 8, I think some of the saddest words that you could find, Jesus looked into the eyes of people and he said this, ye shall die in your sins. And that's possible. I know you'd hardly believe that when you stand with many a preacher at an open grave, because it seems he sends them straight to heaven. Boy, I asked a preacher one time, where do you bury your bad people? For I never heard you burying a bad one yet. They're all good. Jesus said, ye shall die in your sins. and where I am. Listen to this, my friend. Ye cannot come. You can't. No matter what the preacher says around your grave, if you die in your sin, you go to hell. And it was that same loving Savior that told the story in Luke chapter 16. The rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And for the first time, his eyes were open. I'm lost! I'm lost! I'm lost forever! He thought it was all right. He thought it was good enough. And yet in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Yes, the wages of sin. So friend, I say this to you tonight. If you want your sin, just know what it'll cost you. If you leave this meeting in your sin, if you close your eyes on death and your sin, here's the price. Because be not deceived, God's not mocked. But whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But I want to tell you there's good news in the gospel. Christ Jesus came into the world, listen, to save sinners. And if you take your place as a sinner tonight, acknowledge your sin before God, I want to tell you, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, in verse number 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth from all sin. No matter how dark your sin is, there's no white sins, friend. They're all dark. But no matter how dark they are, thank God the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth from all sin. Will you come to him tonight? Friend, will you humble yourself before God? Say, Lord, I thought I was all right, but your word tells me it's all wrong. I thought I was good enough, but your word tells me I'm a sinner. But your word tells me that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners like me. Lord, save me. Praise God, he will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word tonight. Solemn word. And realize, our God, our Heavenly Father, it is so solemn because it's very personal. It's personal to every one of us because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt open the eyes of men and women, young people. Turn them to Christ tonight. Lord, save them. Don't let them go on another night in their sin. Don't let them leave another gospel meeting in their sin. But oh God, stop them. Stop them. Stop them tonight, Lord, lest they perish and go to hell. as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend. Will you come to Christ? Will you humble yourself before God and take your place as a sinner? Friend, do it now in the day of grace. There come a moment that's too late to die in your sin, to be lost forever. And if there's one tonight and you say, "Preacher, I want to be saved. I want you to point me to Jesus. I want my sin dealt with." Maybe there's a backslider and you're away from the Lord, friend. And God's faced you with your sin of backsliding. Get back to the Lord tonight. Thank God he'll forgive you. Thank God he'll pardon you. Thank God he'll cleanse you. Will you come? Just as every head is bowed and every eye is closed and God's people are praying, is there one tonight in the service? You say, "Preacher, lead me to Jesus." Would you indicate that desire right now, friend? Just lift your hand above your head that I'll see it. Indicate that desire. Listen, their heads are bowed and eyes are closed, but I'm here watching for your soul. Is there one tonight? I beg you, don't go away. Don't go away without Jesus. Lord, save. Save tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, we're here to help you. If there's a man, a woman, young person, and you want to talk to us about eternal things, we're not rushing away. Please come and speak to us. Mention to me at the door. We'll go to a private room and we'll open the Word of God, and from this book I'll show you how you can get it settled forever. Get it under your sin under the blood. Pray that God will send us a breath from heaven. And oh, that the fear of God would fall upon cold rain and grip the hearts of this people. In Jesus' name, amen.